Please be seated. Those of you who are Methodist will wonder at the title sermon. I'm not a local preacher, therefore I cannot preach. So I've been invited as a deacon to talk to you.
How many deacons are there in this room?
Two.
Try again. How many deacons are there in this room? How many in this room have been ordained deacon? Three. A round of applause to that man. Sam surely was an ordained deacon.
Yep.
And therefore is still a deacon in the eyes of the Anglican Church. Slightly different. Well, at the last priesting I went to, the bishop said, all priests are still deacon, and indeed all bishops are still deacon. The first ordination in the Anglican Church is to be a deacon. There are a growing number who choose to remain deacon, but most go on then to be ordained priest, and some to be ordained again as bishop. But they're still at the root of all that, a deacon. Now, most of you know that my sister here... Hello, sister. Vera is still a Methodist deacon, although sat down. Literally sat down. She's still a member of the Methodist Diaconal Order.
They won't know what sitting down.
In the Methodist Church, and definitely within the diaconate, as Vera asked me to explain. At the convocation in the year, convocation is the annual gathering of all deacons. Oh, it's a scary thing. Those due to retire stand before the whole assemblage of Methodist deacons and ask for permission to sit down, which means, can we retire, please? Usually we say no, but we let them anyway. But you're still a member of the order and therefore still a deacon. The Baptist tradition has deacons. Do you want to say, would you like to explain to us what deacons are in the Baptist tradition?
Oh, thank you. They would be people who assist the minister, not ordained at all, but would be elected by the church meeting as people who are sort of wise and good, allegedly. And yes, one of them would be treasurer, one would be secretary, and the others would meet to assist the minister in leading the church, in discerning God's will.
So different expressions of a diaconal ministry. All have a very similar root, though, whether it's that Baptist role that's very akin to our own church wardens or stewards, whether it's the Anglican foundation, I suppose, for the ordained ministry, or in Methodism, a separate, equal but different, parallel ministry. It's about service. And that's not exclusive to us, though. It is the ministry of the whole church. We're simply appointed that we're able to do that. Many of the traditions that have deacons talk about Act 6 as a foundation, which is when several people were appointed so that the apostles could carry on doing the really holy stuff of praying and preaching, and other people could worry about the practicalities of making sure all the widows get fed and stuff like that. But something that really simplifies and perhaps belittles a diaconal ministry. The Greek word that is translated to as servanthood is also used in the gospel story of Martha and Mary. We often, when we hear that, we're told how wonderful the sister that sits at the feet of Jesus is, because she wants to receive that spiritual nourishment. Whereas the other sister gets sometimes a bit pilloried for rushing about and getting a bit stressed with her sister because you're letting me do all the work and doing all this practical stuff. But actually, that is described as diaconal, diakonos. She is doing what God's called her to do. So we're all a bit of both. We're all about doing, but we're all about being. And getting that balance right can be really difficult. Especially at the moment when I'm running around from one thing to another, not got a day off this week, I find it difficult to find time to be. And I'm sure it's the same for most of us, forgetting why we're here. So the lessons today, I was going to pick my own lessons, but I thought I'll stick with the lectionary because it's the tradition in these churches. I actually used the Isaiah reading yesterday when we had the three-circuit consultation. An assurance from God who'll be with us through thick and thin. Doesn't always feel like that. I think at the moment quite a lot of us are feeling more of the thin than the thick. And then the key of today, the first Sunday after Epiphany, is Jesus' baptism. And both in the Gospel and in the reading from Acts that we did have, we learn that actually the ministry, that affirmation that Christ received, is now ours. That ministry of Christ is now ours. So, bit of a challenge, perhaps. Are you going to... Did you mind if I talk to you guys? I shouldn't single you out, but you're sometimes an easier to... more likely to respond than the rest of them, you know. What have you guys been up to this week?
School.
Says it all, doesn't it? Yours wasn't closed then?
No.
Oh, dear. Bet your teachers think, oh, dear, as well. What have you been up to?
School.
School. What?
No one's actually been closed.
No schools have actually been closed. Sledging? You've forgotten that? Just the boring school sort of got in the way of all that happy memories of being very cold. And did you fall off? Not at all. You've got better balance than me. You went swimming yesterday. I hope it was a heated swimming pool. Two strokes and it's frozen. You went to school. Was that good? You enjoy school? That's excellent. I wish I did. What about you, Yana?
Running around, taking them in late to school.
You've been poorly, haven't you?
Actually, no. Oh, no, I haven't.
Emma was poorly.
And sorting out, trying to close up, storybox just for yesterday so that nobody slipped and hurt.
Right. So lots of people doing different things. And it's funny how things like the boring things, the work, the school, sometimes squash the memories of the good things. But actually, God's in all of it. We need to go to school. Duh. Need to work. Shame, really. But then we need to have fun as well. Because God loves each one of us and actually wants us to have a full life. We're told in the Gospel that Jesus came that we might have life and have it in abundance. So all of life is God's. So how many of us have actually been baptised? just about everybody in the room. What a wonderful thing to have in common. Now, most of us probably were too young to remember, though personally, I'd like to stand with this guy. I love to baptise believers, people who've made their own commitment. But most people are baptised as infants, but those promises are made by representative people. So they're still made on our behalf. I think God's grace, thank God, is so much bigger than the boxes we try to retain him within in our different churches and traditions. We made promises at our baptism that have linked us with that ministry of Christ. And so all our life is in him, and everything we do is in him. I love Celtic spirituality. I came across it sometime early in, not the last decade, the one before, in the 90s, not the noughties. And it just seems there's a prayer for everything. There's a prayer for washing the pots, for goodness sake. But that is just exemplifying. There's no such thing as a dichotomy between sacred and secular. Everything belongs to God. And every part of our life is in worship of God, even washing the pots. Some of us are lucky enough to have dishwashers. I had one in my last appointment. I think I used it 4 times in the 3 years I was in that house. My mum always says, I've got a dishwasher. He's called David. You've got one as well, have you? Do you know, there is a joke that, you know, why do women get married in white? All kitchen appliances are white. I think we've just proved that the men should get married in white as well. Probably why I'm not married yet. Working on it. Though in my relationship, I do work on a different time scale. It's called Caribbean time. Everything happens far more slowly, in a more laid-back fashion. I did want to share with you this week, kind of in preparation for next week, because it's the covenant service, something, as someone who's grown up in the Methodist tradition, that is hugely important to me. But on the service sheets, the second sheet that's got the diaconal cross, the Celtic cross on the front of it, on the back of that, I've printed part of the ordination service from the Methodist Church in Singapore. Although it talks about what people are or are not ordained to, you can reverse it and realise that what we're not ordained to is what everybody is ordained to at their baptism, which is... So if I change these words to be about all of us, you were baptised to ministry. You were baptised to be a caring person. You were baptised to serve the church in committees, activities, organisations, and you were baptised to become involved in social issues, ecology, race, politics, and revolution. It goes on to say what is particular about ordained ministry is ministry in the much smaller aspects. Less spectacular, it says, to read and interpret sacred stories of that community so they speak to the people today. To remember and practice the rituals and rites of meaning that in their poetry they address people at the level where change operates. To foster in community through word and sacrament the encounter with truth that will set people free to minister together as the body of Christ. Now, as Methodists, we talk about the priesthood of all believers. Doesn't mean every one of us is a priest. What I believe it means is together, we as the church have a priestly role, which is, in Old Testament times, kind of an intercessory role. People couldn't talk directly to God. They talked to the priests who passed the prayers on to God. Perhaps the church, we stand in that junction now. And each one of us has a role within it. When I started as a lay worker, I was told, people will judge the church by their experience of me. And I thought, oh, that's horrible. That's quite scary. You have to think. But that's true for each of us. Every person who knows we're a Christian, that will reflect on what they think of Christians. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying it, yeah, maybe to challenge you. But just to think in the week ahead, as we come forward to our own special service, which takes some of the parts of the covenant service and some of the practice of renewal of baptismal vows, just to think what the opportunities in the coming week might be for you to share that ministry. Because in Acts, we're told, in the reading from Acts we had, from Acts 8, we were told that it was because of their baptism they were compelled to go and baptise others. So share a little of God's light with the people you meet this week. Amen.